Blog Talk Radio. This is Dee, and welcome again once to the weekly broadcast of the Holistic Health Alliance, presenting a discussion based on the ideas of a weekly reading group based here in Seattle. This format for the reading group is unique for 2012 in that typically we would meet as a group in a local gathering community setting. And one of the ideas that came from that was that sometimes the inclement weather that we have in our area prevents people from, you know, getting there. So the idea just came about to perhaps allow people to participate, listen, as well as gain knowledge through the group and to continue to allow the group to offer its service to the community and perhaps just make it more readily available either as a live broadcast as we're doing today and as we do every week, and also allowing you to listen in after the broadcast is complete. So that's generally a little bit of the reason why. And then when the weather changes, we normally always come back to gathering together on a regular basis at some of our events that we host in the spring and the summer. So I just wanted to lead in with that and welcome everyone again to this reading and discussion about the book written by Dr. Ian K. Smith. The book is called Eat. This group is reading topics that are important to just the idea of maintaining a well-rounded, holistic perspective on your health. Perhaps every day you don't get up and, you know, perhaps change your diet or do something necessarily different, but at least you have information. And that's the key, I think, to any type of long-term view or vision that you have for your health, is gathering the right information, trying to motivate yourself over time, making incremental changes, maybe slight changes here, maybe there. Maybe you change the way you prepare a certain food, or maybe you perhaps reduce the amount of a certain food or drink that you take in on a regular basis. And so those just slight and incremental changes over time do matter. And that's why for this group, there's a passion about sharing the knowledge. We've read a number of really wonderful books, and I invite you to visit the website, www.africanholisticseattle.com. And this group was really inspired based on the epidemics that we're seeing and explosion in just critical systems of health that are failing in and throughout the populations of people of color, and just our ability to do something, which is just provide information to people in order to help perhaps someone you know and love. You share that information with them, and maybe that would allow them to see another way, work with their healthcare provider to help transform their life and their health. So with this book, we've not been at all disappointed. Every single week, it's new excitement reading this book. Last week, we covered two chapters. That was a chapter called Spicetopia, and the other chapter was Size Matters. So this week, we're moving into Chapter 8, You Are What You Drink. And in this chapter, there are subtopics: the miracle of water, floating calories, drinking fat, the buzz of energy drinks, your personal drink chart. So in reading this book, of course, every chapter is new and exciting, but I must say this chapter was very much at the high end of filling you up with amazing information. I want to say today I'm going to start a little differently. Today I'm going to start at the end of the chapter, because what I'd like to do is kind of set the tone and really allow you to just say, yeah, that makes sense. I can do that. Easily done. Because this chapter after all is about what we drink, and every day we're drinking something. So I want to just start with what's called the eat plan at the end of the chapter. And in general, these are guidelines. Water should be 50% of your day's beverage consumption. That's one of the eat plan ideas. Cut whatever amount of soda you typically drink in half. So that's just another idea. And then the third, try to consume one cup of freshly squeezed juice each day. So three simple tips right at the end of the chapter, to me, just took everything that we're reading in the chapter and just brought it home. Made it easy, made it more common sense, and something that you would say, yeah, I can really do that. I can be inspired to ask somebody that I know who I help support to do this. So I'll just read that again. Water should be 50% of your day's beverage consumption. Cut whatever amount of soda you typically drink in half. Try to consume one cup of freshly squeezed juice each day. And when we get into the chapter, we'll see how these three things work so well to provide us with the needed amount of liquids in our daily diet, and also why some of the things we want to reduce and possibly over time eliminate from our diet. Just starting in the beginning of the chapter, you are what you eat. The theme of the chapter is really about understanding the liquids that we drink and their potential health implications. So I'm just paraphrasing, because that was really one of the sentences there in the first paragraph. And I paraphrased that theme thinking, what is the real point of the chapter? What are we to take away? And I think what I'm getting from it is just the understanding that the liquids we drink, they have a potential implication on our health in a good way and maybe in a not so health-minded way. What we drink is as important as what we eat. And the reason that becomes a nice statement to think back on all the other chapters we've read, and they've focused much on what we take into the body in terms of solid food. And over the course of reading the other chapters, we've learned that the breakdown of the solid food breaks it down into different components of the calories, the amount of carbohydrates, the amount of sodium, the amount of protein, all the different facets of breakdown for our solid food we've covered in the previous chapters. And so now, just the idea that what we drink is as important as what we eat would make us wonder, well, does that mean liquids then might contain calories? You know, there might be sugar in there. There might be caffeine in some of the things. So it's just given us the mindset that even though you're drinking a liquid, there are still things that you should consider about the content of the liquid. So with that, you drink to quench your thirst primarily. And sometimes you drink because you want to drink healthy drinks to help you decrease the risk for certain types of disease. And other drinks you might take in because you want to ensure that you're successful at losing a certain amount of weight, if that's one of your goals. And in general, overall, over time periods of your life, we're hoping that whatever you drink is improving the quality of your life, and that's another motivation for what we consume and drink typically on a regular basis. Now, water is the number one drink that we do take in. The body is containing 60 to 70% water, and generally, if you don't drink water, you won't be able to survive. So that's just the bottom line. So in fact, water is the number one drink that we do consume. Although we may not consume as much of it as we should, just in terms of the general guidelines for how much we should consume, but it is still at the top of the list on the amount of liquids that are consumed in the diet, in the American diet. Now, consider this other interesting fact, which is that water is also 70% of the planet's volume. There's 70% of our world that's covered in water. And that, if you take a visual, just step back and think of the globe and how it looks when you look at it, you do see that it's predominated by water, masses of water. The thing that we probably don't all understand is that 97% of the water on the earth is not consumable. We can't drink it because it's salt water. Now that leaves 3% of the water on the earth that's available for human consumption and for animals and for the plants and other things that we know need this vital element. Only 3% of the water is drinkable. That means it's a vital part of our survival on the planet, but that 3% takes care of the needs of everyone and everything that needs it on this planet. Of course, we're always encouraged to conserve and not waste this precious resource. To me, that just brings it up to a high level as a resource that should not be wasted if we know that it's in such small supply planet-wide. So how much should you drink on a regular basis? Just in general, the guidelines have always said 64 ounces or 8 8-ounce glasses per day. And sometimes you think about 64 ounces of water. How could we do that? Sit down and just drink the 64 ounces, you know, one setting. How would you do it across a period of a day? You might say, well, today for sure I'm going to drink my 8 ounces of water. By the end of the day, you look back and you say, well, I didn't drink my 8 ounces. I never got it into the system. So here are some ideas on how you might approach getting the water into the system. And these are just some ideas. maybe start the day with a glass or two of water. So basically, as soon as you wake up in the morning, have a glass of water, maybe two glasses of water, and then go about taking care of your needs to get ready for your day, whatever those are. And then you're going to have at least three meals a day. So maybe you had one glass before breakfast, and then another glass before lunch, and then another one before dinner. And so there you've taken in quite a lot of water for the day. You might also consider carrying with you a container filled with water and just take it everywhere you go. So in and throughout your day, you have your container of water there with you. You can always quench your thirst as you're driving or riding or working, whatever it is you're doing throughout the day. You can always have your own private water supply with you. So therefore, you don't have to worry about, well, where can I go? Is there a water fountain? Is there a place where I can get the water quickly, you know, for my needs? So those are just some of the ideas of how you might be able to get the water into your system on a regular basis. Now, the controversy comes about, what kind of water should we drink? Should we drink tap water? Should we drink bottled water? And this controversy has been going on for quite a while. And there are people who are so adamant on both sides of the camp that will tell you that the tap water is not good for you, or that the bottled water contains certain types of things that shouldn't be ingested. Maybe there are some contaminants in the bottled water. So, excuse me, in the book, generally, it just says that basically the idea of hype about the water, a lot of it is just marketing hype about trying to promote a certain type of product if it's in a bottle. And I'm not going to slam the industry there, but we just know that there's been a market increase in marketing liquids in bottles, and water being one of those. And you can go anywhere and you'll see what I'm thinking here are billboards, signs, ads about the water, the benefits of drinking from a bottle, and why perhaps drinking water from your tap is not the best. In general, that's a decision you'll have to make, obviously, and you'll have to research and do your homework and understand for your needs what makes sense, what's the right thing to do. And in another topic, maybe we will simply talk just on that one coverage of water, what kinds of water, what's the best kind of water, and all of this. We may bring that conversation into the program, which I think would be a great topic. But for now, I'm just going to say that in the book, we don't find that there's a strong decision on what to do about the source for your water. It's just a matter of educate yourself and understand to the best of your ability what it is that's in the water that you do drink. There's calories in water, something you may not realize. Calories come in the form of the water when it has added things such as in soda. If you're drinking soda, non-diet soda, you might find it to be containing 110 calories. And the biggest reason is because it contains sugar in the soda. There are other things that contain water, liquids that have water in them. Soy milk, apple juice from concentrate, cranberry juice, coffee, and tea, obviously. So right next to the water, which is the most consumed liquid, there's coffee and tea. So coffee and tea come in where we studied that tea, black tea, is about 60 billion servings of combination of black and green tea on a regular basis. So Americans consume well beyond 60 billion servings of tea on any given day. That's a lot of tea. But think of it, tea is above coffee in its consumption. So when you break tea down, black tea is the most consumed. 82% of the tea that is consumed is black tea, and 17% is green tea. And tea without the sweetener and the milk and the other things that could be added to it are virtually calorie-free. Tea is nearly 5,000 years old, and it was introduced into Europe, the Western world, through Asia. And it has some specific types of benefits that are known, well known, and continuously studied. So the consumption of tea, there are antioxidants that are important to the health and that can help fight against the free radicals in the body. And these free radicals over time generally would lead to some sort of chronic disease. Well, we don't know everything about the tea just yet. The studies continuously say good things about consumption of tea. And we know that with the coffee, there's also some health benefits that are promoted, but there are also side effects to it. Drinking coffee because of the caffeine, you might get, you know, if you're drinking too much, you know, there might become the sensation of what's called jitters or some other types of physical response to the caffeine. And simply because every body is so different, the consumption of caffeine by one person and the response to that from the body may not be the same for someone else. So someone might be able to drink two or three cups a day and have nothing really significant that impairs their behavior or their physical being. And then others may definitely have a significant impact by drinking. And they're talking now that reports and studies of the long-term effect on the health effects, they're just still, again, a little bit confusing. But for sure, we know that there are some effects that do happen. But think about the other piece of this, which is that the calories that we add to the coffee, then we're drinking a coffee drink, but we're also drinking added calories. So that alone would cause you to probably think a little bit about, well, okay, if I'm drinking the coffee, am I putting in sugar? Am I adding other things to it to enhance its flavor? So here's an example. Just an example of a 12-ounce peppermint white chocolate mocha with 2% milk and whipped cream could contain up to 420 calories. And then this would be more calories than you might consume for breakfast. So if you think that, well, I'm drinking my particular peppermint mocha drink, you're getting 15 grams of fat, 61 grams of carbohydrates, and almost 15 teaspoons of sugar. Now that in itself, when you just think of white peppermint chocolate mocha with 2% milk and whipped cream, boy, that's amazing. That beautiful drink, the way it looks, the way it tastes, has so much added fat, carbs, and sugar. So, in general, I guess the idea would be understand what it is that is in the content of the liquid that you're drinking. And that would include what it is we intake from the standpoint of the coffees that are more routinely flavored and made to look and taste so beautiful. Another piece of the coffee story, just at the end of this section on coffee, is just this following sentence. Caffeine's stimulation of the central nervous system can be uncomfortable. Some experts suggest drinking 3 or 4 cups of coffee per day is fine, but this number may not apply to everyone. This is what I said earlier. Especially those who might have heart conditions or central nervous system problems. Just the same, a chronic coffee drinker can also run into problems when trying to cut back. In some cases, experiencing symptoms of coffee withdrawal, such as headaches, irritability, restlessness, muscle stiffness, and poor concentration. It's not the coffee bean that's the issue. It's all the trendy things added to the coffee that are the problems, unquote. In the next section, we go on to talk a little bit about juices and that it's obviously best to get your juice in the most natural state, freshly prepared, freshly squeezed, most vibrant content of nutrient value from the juice is freshly squeezed. However, we know that a lot of drinks are now being sold on the marketplace and that these drinks are considered drinks that come from concentrated juices, which means that the fresh juice has undergone vaporization process where the water is extracted from the juice and what remains is the frozen concentrate. So concentrated juice, that's what that means. And then when you want to drink the juice, you thaw the concentrate, add the water, and drink. Sometimes concentrated juices have sugars added to them in the process, and sometimes they don't. But you just need to look at the label. And so juices, juice blends, some of them have multiple things added to them. Multiple juices blended together. And again, read the label. That's the critical point that I take from this. Unfortunately, in this section, there's a quote that says, "Unfortunately, when most people see the word juice, they jump to the conclusion that the juice in question is healthy and full of important nutrients. Not so fast. The overall quality truly depends on the percentage of fruit juice the beverage contains and whether or not sugars have been added in processing. The terms freshly squeezed or made from freshly squeezed are the phrases that you should be looking for when selecting your juice," unquote. And in the next section is a section on the drink alcohol. So alcohol is another one of the drinks that could be consumed sometimes in, you know, small quantities for just social consumption. But sometimes it's a little bit overindulged. And in that case, the studies have shown that intaking excessive amount of alcohol affects the health in the following way: raising the blood pressure, creating the potential for stroke, cirrhosis of the liver, cancers, certain types of pancreatitis, perhaps miscarriage, addiction, suicide. So the dangers of high volume, long-term alcohol consumption outweigh its potential, but not guaranteed benefits. So what that means is that some studies have shown that a small consumption of certain types of beverages that are alcoholic may have some certain types of health benefits. But I just want to say again, and at least in the book it does also say, that the dangers of high volume, long-term alcohol consumption outweigh any potential benefits. And that the bottom line should be consume in moderation any alcohol. So I won't spend a little more time on that. I just leave it with you, that thought. We all have heard this before. It's something that we know comes along with the labels that we find on beverages that contain alcohol. And over years and years and years, those messages continue to be strong messages about not overindulging in that beverage. Energy drinks. Now, here's a drink that's fairly new on the market. This is amazing that just in a very short amount of time, we've seen a ramp up in the just strong marketing, advertising, promoting, and drinking of energy drinks. And the number one energy drink out there right now, according to the book, is Red Bull. It was developed in the 80s, and it was developed by two gentlemen, an Austrian entrepreneur by the name of Dietrich Mateschwasch and a Thai national by the name of Chaleo Yuvitya. And what happened is they adopted a Thai energy drink. It was called Krating Deng, and it became what's called Red Bull. They sold the drink in Asia and Europe, and then it gained great success that in 1997 it was introduced into the United States. And since that time, we've seen a rampant marketing, supply, and consumption of this drink. Most of the energy drinks are carbonated and contain significant amounts of caffeine and sugar. Basically, up to 80 milligrams of caffeine per can you might find in the particular drink. You can also look at the label. It'll say it. Energy drinks have become particularly popular in bars and nightclubs, where the consumer mixes the energy drink with alcohol. Now we've heard more and more about this in the media today, in the news, in the reporting of people getting sick. Some people actually expiring from drinking too much of this combination of the energy drink with the alcohol. It's something that you definitely want to consider if you have young people that you have influence over and that you know that this is something they're drinking on a regular basis. Just provide them with the information and allow them to understand what they're drinking and what it is that it contains and how it could affect their bodies. It's just so important to give them the information. So I'll leave it at that with the energy drinks. It has effects of causing sleep difficulty and anxiety and indigestion and blood pressure changes. And these are all noted facts that are stated here in the book. Soda, Americans consume 57 gallons of soda in a year. That's a lot of soda. It's way ahead of other countries, and they say United States is the highest consumer of gallons per person of soft drinks. And so with that, we know that these soft drinks do contain lots of calories, added sugar, and other formulations that perhaps affect our diets. And we want to be mindful. Drinking soda in moderation is not harmful, but it wants to be something that you try to do and make sure you understand what its contents are, what it contains, and also adopting a healthy lifestyle that is healthy eating as well as your fitness program. Nobody's saying we should stop drinking, but we should drinking the soda or other things. It's just a matter of understanding how this could affect your body. And with soda comes diet soda. And again, there's a point made here around the idea that people think that, oh, if I drink the diet soda, then basically it contains zero calories, and therefore I should be able to consume to make up for that in a way. But there's an imbalance in that type of thinking, and it just doesn't really allow you to just simply switch calories and save on drinking diet soda and make up for it in food consumption. Because what probably sometimes we don't understand is the caloric impact is significantly different. So I'm just going to allow you to read more on that topic about diet soda versus regular soda. I don't drink soda, so I'm not really up on, you know, what's going on in that realm, but certainly invite you to consider all your information before making a decision to give the soda to yourself or to your children, especially to the children, I would say. Allow them to have some other option, a healthier option. So at the end of the chapter is a chart. It's called the drink chart. And I'll just describe it. It looks like a pitcher, like you're in a pitcher of water, a pitcher of lemonade. It's a pitcher with a handle. It's open at the top, and it's got a round body toward the bottom. And then it tapers off in the middle, and then it kind of opens up where the pouring part of it is at the top. What the chart shows is that the most consumed liquid that we need is water. At level one, 50% of our level of intake of water. And anything above that should be less, obviously. And this is the chart of what is most consumed. And it's water, followed by tea and coffee, followed by milk, low-fat types of milk, followed by sweetened beverages, followed by alcohol, and then fruit juices is also at the very, very tip top of that. And then calorically sweetened beverages without nutrients comes in at the very tippy top. So this chart, let me explain. It says this is the suggested beverage consumption pattern for a person who requires 2,200 calories per day, providing 10% of calories from beverages. The values 50, 28, 16, and 4 fluid ounces are shown for illustrative purposes only. The total consumption should sum to 98 fluid ounces, as shown at the top of the figure. The range listed at each level refers to the beverage guidance panel's suggested consumption range for each beverage. Caffeine is a limiting factor for coffee and tea consumption. Consume up to 400 milligrams per day, or approximately 32 fluid ounces of coffee or tea, can replace water. Non-calorically sweetened beverages can substitute for tea and coffee with the same limitations regarding caffeine, up to 16 fluid ounces per day. This is adopted from the Beverage Guidance Panel's original recommendation of up to 32 fluid ounces per day, adopted with permission and from the American Society for Nutrition. It's hard sometimes to describe a chart like this because it has so many parts and pieces. So I'd invite you again to pick this book up, first of all, at the library or via one of the bookstores if you have the means to do so. It's a really great book. I've already completed the end of the chapter, which is where we started, and that's where we're going to leave it for today. This was a wonderful chapter. What it's about, you are what you drink. You are what you drink. It was powerful, contained lots and lots of great information. We feel inspired, at least I know I do, to think about some of these topics in this chapter, especially the topic around water and how we might develop a whole conversation just based on that alone in the future programming on the show. Thank you so much again for joining the program today. And I'd just like to say, appreciate that you have taken the time to be here once again on the weekly broadcast of the Holistic Health Alliance, presenting the topics from the Seattle-based reading group called the African Holistic Health Reading Group. And the reading group's website is AfricanHolisticSeattle.com. My name is Dee, and I'd like to sign off at this time. And thank you for joining. Hope to see you and talk with you again as we finish the book up. We're going to finish it up next week with the last two chapters. Next week we'll be covering Chapter 9, Unearthing the Organic Truth, and Chapter 10, The Perfect Snack. Take care. Hope you have a wonderful week.